The following contains descriptions of physical violence, sexual violence, and graphic descriptions of autopsies.
Hey, listeners, welcome to episode 71 of TGIC Podcast and part two of our series on the murder of Dee Dee Blanchard, also known as the Gypsy Rose case. I'm Jillian.
And I'm Izzy.
Okay, I guess we're just going to kind of pick up where we left off, right?
Yeah. And just so you guys know, we said it in the last episode, but we are on Zoom. So if you hear anything weird or if there's like gaps or whatever, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So picking up around 2012, just at some point in 2012, Gypsy was able to regain access to the internet after her mom like went on that rampage and like smashed her computer and everything. And she started to go online after her mom went to bed. She often messaged with Aaliyah, who was a neighbor of hers. Aaliyah was 23 and considered herself to be like a big sister to Gypsy Rose, even though they were actually like really close in age. I think Gypsy Rose was 21 at the time. Mm-hmm. So I guess she was kind of a big sister, but I think Aaliyah thought she was a lot more of like a
big sister
advisor. Yeah. And they were actually quite close in age. One day she messaged Aaliyah asking for advice on talking to boys and pursuing a romantic relationship. Aaliyah suggested that she tried to meet someone online just because, you know, Gypsy Rose doesn't really get out without her mom much. Mm-hmm. So Gypsy Rose decided to join a Christian dating website, and she quickly matched with Nicholas Godejohn, who was 2 years older and lived in Big Bend, Wisconsin. So Nicholas did actually have a criminal record. He was convicted for like indecent exposure because he was watching porn at a McDonald's once.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's an interesting thing to have a criminal record for.
Yeah, quite an interesting thing.
I mean, he has a more extensive criminal record now, but imagine trying to apply for a job and that's like what's on your record.
Yeah, and that specifically too. Watching porn at McDonald's.
Yeah. It's so specific.
It's so specific.
Nicholas also claimed to have dissociative identity disorder, which is also formerly known as multi-personality disorder. But there's not really any evidence to support this. And I think no one really thinks that he actually had this. They think that this was just something like he came up with.
Okay.
He does have autism spectrum disorder.
Okay.
So in 2014, Gypsy and Nicholas had actually a pretty strong online relationship. It had been about like a year and a half, 2 years since they'd met. They'd been talking very consistently. According to Aaliyah, they had discussed the possibility of eloping and had come up with baby names for their future children.
Whoa. Can you imagine?
I mean, like they had a pretty steady online relationship.
Yeah. Like, can you imagine that you're like in the talking stage with someone and you're like, yeah, our babies, like, let's come up with names for them.
Well, that's the thing. It's like it had been like a year and a half. It wasn't really like they're in the talking stage. It was just they were like solely online.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it had been a good bit. Gypsy was like pretty infatuated with Nicholas from what she told Aaliyah. The only red flag that she ever really noted about him was that he often discussed like these sexual fantasies that involved BDSM elements. And that was really uncomfortable for Gypsy just because, you know, she was a victim of abuse.
Yeah.
So she kind of just tried to like dismiss these and say that they were really nothing more than fantasies because she was just like really into Nicholas. Like she didn't want anything to be wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And this is actually one of the things that I saw was like their posts between like the posts that they were both posting. Mm-hmm. Some of them were weird. Like one of them was like, like they were just like very odd. Like I've never, it was like one of them was like Gypsy posted like a picture of like Beauty and the Beast, like fan art of Beauty and the Beast. And she was like, I'm looking for my beast. And Nicholas commented underneath it and was like something about being a like beast in the bedroom or something.
Oh.
And then like he posted like pictures of like Belle. It was just very odd.
Interesting.
Like definitely very like 2014, like online, like
yeah,
online
You know, so. She had 5 different Facebook accounts.
Seriously?
Yeah. I mean, I think she did just like to not get caught by her mom. But like most of her relationship took place online, which I think is wild. Like a lot of back and forth stuff, just like totally on these different Facebook accounts.
Yeah.
Interesting. In 2015, after the couple had been together for almost 3 years at this point, they really wanted to meet in person. And Gypsy no longer wanted to cover up the relationship to her mother. So Gypsy actually paid for Nicholas to travel all the way to Springfield from Wisconsin, like on a bus. So they crafted this whole plan for them to like meet by coincidence, basically, because Dee Dee would often take Gypsy to like the movie theater because, you know, she was really into fantasy. She was really into sci-fi. Mm-hmm. So that day they were going to see Cinderella at a local movie theater. And Gypsy was like, we have to just like meet by coincidence, like bump into each other. So Gypsy dressed as Cinderella and Nicholas dressed as Prince Charming, and they pretended to meet for the first time. And at some point during the film, the two actually snuck off and had sex in a movie theater bathroom.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's a lot.
Yeah. In costume.
Which Whoa. Is interesting.
After they met in person, that's when they kind of started to craft their plan on how to kill Dee Dee, which sounds like a big jump, but you kind of have to think about like where Gypsy was in her life. Like,
yeah,
she was definitely still at that point where she wanted like independence just from her mother, just because she was starting to suspect the abuse. She had started asking questions and her mother was like abusing her in response. And then on top of that, she now has this boyfriend. They've now met. And so she really wants to like, you know, start this life with him. And then on top of that, you know, the whole plan with the movie theater was that Gypsy wouldn't have to cover up her relationship anymore, because like her mom would be like, oh, this is the guy from the movie theater you met. Yeah. But even then, Dee Dee was still very like disapproving of their relationship, because she thought it was weird that there was like this adult man at a children's movie.
True.
Which is kind of ironic, because they staged this whole thing so it would like not be sketchy. And then she was like, well, that's sketchy as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like by himself, dressed up as Prince Charming.
Yeah, which is like, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Like her train of thought makes sense. I just think it's so ironic, because like their whole plan was so that it wouldn't seem sketchy.
Yeah.
But yeah, Gypsy was really feeling trapped at this point, and she wanted to leave to start her new life with Nicholas. And this only intensified by them meeting in person. So they started to craft this plan. They spent like a long time debating on how they were going to commit the crime, like a lot of detail. They debated getting a gun or poisoning her. Like there was graphic details on them planning this. And another really weird thing about their planning of the crime was actually that they would often not refer to themselves doing it. Like they would refer to like their evil selves as different people who were going to commit the crime. Like there are these messages that like Gypsy was basically asking like what Nicholas would need to commit the crime. But when she said it, she was like, what will he require? Not like you. It's like, she was like referring to him with these like other, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's like, so interesting.
It was like this other person.
Like it's and like a fantasy.
Yeah, it kind of plays into this whole thing with like Nicholas claiming to have DID, because throughout their whole relationship, he'd kind of said that he had all these different like personas, and he had this like evil persona.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, they later found out he didn't actually have this. So it's really just this really extreme form of like self-distancing, which is something that happens like when people want to mentally distance themselves from like something awful, like a crime.
Which makes sense. I mean, like, I feel like I've heard of other like true crime cases where people have like, will not refer it to like themselves as committing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When confessions happen over time, usually it's like they get closer and closer to the crime. So it's definitely like a case of that. I just think it's interesting because Nicholas had claimed to have this like evil persona for like a long time. And it was like, he like acted like it was like another version of himself basically. And it was like, it kind of existed long before the crime.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
That is interesting.
So in June of 2015, Nicholas took a bus to Springfield during the day while Gypsy was at a doctor's appointment. And like, this is like a long ass bus. That's why it's like kind of important he left during the day, because like the timing had to work out. Like they planned this.
Got it.
I think it was like a 9-hour bus ride or something.
Whoa.
Yeah. So That night, after Dee Dee went to bed, Gypsy let Nicholas into the house and gave him gloves, duct tape, and a knife. Gypsy then went and she hid in the bathroom and, like, covered her ears and just waited. Nicholas then went into Dee Dee's room, and apparently he woke her up when he went in, but it didn't really end up mattering because he just stabbed her in the back 17 times.
17 times is...
It's overkill for sure.
It's anger.
Yeah. But that was kind of where Nicholas was at. The two of them were just really infatuated with each other. So he was like, I'll do anything for Gypsy. And Dee Dee was abusing Gypsy. And so this was like his duty in his mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
After he killed Dee Dee, he then went and got Gypsy and they had sex in Gypsy's room. And this is actually debated whether or not it's consensual, which I feel like is kind of important that I note. When the case will come out later, like, Nicholas says that it was consensual. Gypsy says it was not. She was, you know, obviously distraught because her mom just died. Like,
even yeah. And I mean, they're having sex in the house that her mom just
died. Yeah.
In her room, that's like probably has so many bad memories.
Yeah.
Years of abuse. Like, I'm sure that even if like it was consensual, it was not a good experience, probably.
No. After they had sex, they went and got, there was $4,000 in cash in the house. It was mostly like from like the child support and stuff over the years, but Dee Dee kept like a safe of cash. And so Gypsy knew where to get it. So they took the cash and they left. After the crime, they stayed in a nearby hotel for a few days just to debate their next move. During this time, they're actually seen on like several security cameras of stores and stuff. And so it's definitely like, they were definitely trackable once it came down to it. Like, they stayed in the town for a little bit and they were seen on store cameras. Like, they were there. So they're kind of just plotting their next move, and they eventually decided that they'd go back to Big Bend, Wisconsin, and just move in with Nicholas's parents. Nicholas had lived with his parents, and at the time, I think that's just like the decision that made the most sense to them, which is crazy because can you imagine, like, your son goes away for a couple of days and he comes back with his girlfriend, and like I'd be so confused. You know?
Yeah, I would be really confused too.
Especially like, I don't know how like familiar they were with Gypsy, but like she was like on all these charity events. Like, I actually don't know how popular like she was at the time before like the crime happened, but like, was she known as like a person like with like these conditions? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Was she known for participating in charity events? Like, I always wondered that. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Was she like a big, like, did people know who she was?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't think she was like celebrity level, but I wonder if people like, you know, knew who she was. Like, from the news or anything.
Yeah.
Before they left Missouri, they mailed the knife, which is the murder weapon, and the cash back to Nicholas's house because they didn't want to get like caught with it on the bus.
Okay. I will say they are not the smartest criminals.
Oh no, they're really not the smartest criminals. Why would you? They also, like, when they mailed the knife, they addressed it to their names at Nicholas's address.
Oh my God.
Also, they sent a knife through the postal service.
Yeah, sent a knife through the postal service. They were seen on multiple store security cameras together.
It was not planned out. They stayed in the town for like a couple days. Like, it's not like they like went like to some random place. Like, they stayed in a nearby motel.
Oh my, yeah.
Yeah. And like, why? You sent a knife through the postal service. I don't actually know how it made it through. No. And even if like, what if they opened it? Then it's like, literally it says it's addressed to like, Gypsy Rose Blanchard and Nicholas Godejohn at this address. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And it's like a bloody knife and $4,000 in cash.
Yeah. Like, why wouldn't you send that to like a PO box or like, I don't know, like,
not
take it with you.
Yeah.
I feel like it's literally better to have it in a backpack.
Yeah. Like in a checked bag.
Oh my God.
Cause it's not like they're going through customs or anything.
Yeah. Just carry that shit with you. No one's going to know what's in your backpack on a bus.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they don't make you go through security.
No. Yeah. So they mail this stuff back to, like, avoid getting caught. But I think that's really ironic. Anyway, so then they get on this bus to Wisconsin. Witnesses later said that they saw Gypsy in a blonde wig and walking without assistance at the bus station, which does make me think, like, if people were able to, like, later say they saw her, like, does that mean, like, she was, like, a recognizable person? Like, they were like, wait, what the fuck? that's Gypsy Rose Blanchard. Why is she walking?
Yeah. Like, why is she in a blonde wig walking with this random man?
Like, yeah, I'm so confused. Like, later people were like, yeah, we saw her. She was walking. It was really weird. But, like, no one thought that was weird at the time. No one was like, wait, what the fuck? You're not supposed to walk.
Yeah, no one was like, hey, Gypsy. So I see you're miraculously healed.
Yeah, I'm confused. Okay. That does not make sense. I don't know. Maybe it was just one of those things that later they were like, oh, did you see her in a blonde wig? And people were like, yeah, I did. I don't know who she is, though. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. After they've been in Wisconsin for a couple of days, the knife and cash did somehow safely arrive. I don't know how that did not get stopped.
Yeah, by some luck.
I once tried to send a bracelet through the mail and that got intercepted.
Seriously?
Yeah. I mean, I was like six and I put a bracelet in like an envelope. So like it was genius, but like.
But still.
Like, I don't know how to get a knife through the mail.
That's so weird.
And at that point, Gypsy said that she had thought she had gotten away with the crime, which I mean, I would think I'd gotten away with it too. Like, you're out of the state. Yeah. The knife and the cash made it. Like, you're free, basically. But that is when the guilt started to kick in.
So now we're going to get into the arrest and the conviction slash the trial. So on June 14th of 2015, close friends and Facebook friends of Dee Dee and Gypsy were immediately alarmed when they saw a disturbing post on a Facebook account that was supposedly, like, it was supposed to be ran by Dee Dee. Like, it was, like, their main, like, mother-daughter account. Mm-hmm. So the Facebook post said, quote, "That bitch is dead."
That's quote, wild.
Which is crazy. Like, crazy. That's
wild.
So, obviously, in response to seeing this post, their friends went and visited the Blanchard home in Springfield to see if anything was amiss. So, upon first inspection, the friends deemed that the house was empty because, like, nobody was responding when they were knocking on the door, and they just thought it was empty. So, they called the police and requested a wellness check. So when the police went and searched the house, they immediately discovered the body of Dee Dee Blanchard stabbed to death and Gypsy missing. By this point, another alarming Facebook post had actually been published, and it implied that Gypsy had been assaulted prior to her kidnapping. Yeah, which is interesting. Upon inspection of the house, the police unsurprisingly found Gypsy's medical supplies and her wheelchair, indicating that she obviously didn't have the things that, like, her mother claimed were, like, her, like, she needed to survive.
Yeah, she needed them to survive.
Yeah. So when police interviewed the friends that were on the scene after the police got there, like, Gypsy's friends and neighbors actually confided in them that Gypsy was talking to a supposed secret boyfriend. And it was the girl that you were, her neighbor who you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently Gypsy had, like, given her screenshots, which her friend had actually printed out and, like, given to the police that, like, documented their conversations and Nicholas's name.
Huh.
So after getting the name, the police got the IP address and eventually Nicholas's address, and the police eventually contacted the Wisconsin authorities and told them about the situation with Gypsy and Nicholas Godejohn. So when the police in Wisconsin visited the home of the Godejohns, they found Gypsy alive and perfectly healthy, walking on her own.
That must be so shocking.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, like, you're already investigating this murder, but then when you go to find her, you're like, wait, what the fuck? Like,
you're walking around.
You're walking, you're healthy. Like, just being in a wheelchair for that long and then all of a sudden, like, I wonder what that was like for Gypsy to, like, realize that she could walk. Because I know when they first got back to Wisconsin, like, part of her plan was she was going to, like, go see a doctor. I don't think she ever, like, did get the opportunity. But she was, like, going to go see a doctor to see, like, what actually was wrong with her. And there actually wasn't absolutely nothing wrong with her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she knew that she could walk from when she was little. Like, that was the one thing she knew. And her mom, when she would go to doctor's appointments and stuff, her mom would always be like, stay in the wheelchair. Don't say anything. Like, don't move your legs. Stay quiet.
Yeah. But, which, like, I think her mom did tell her that, like, she wasn't strong enough to walk on her own for, like, long periods of time. And so that's why she, like, felt like she couldn't get out of the wheelchair.
Yeah. Even though she probably, like, knew instinctually, like, oh, I can move my legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as investigators were, like, looking into the past of Gypsy and Dee Dee, and talking to more friends and family members of the Blanchard, they uncovered the very like convoluted truth of the matter, which was that Dee Dee was most likely suffering from Munchausen by proxy, and that she had like a really long history of manipulating like her friends and family members. Like when I was researching, I saw stuff about like her stealing her family members' like credit cards and identities, and like people even suspect that she actually killed her mom.
What?
Yeah. So she lived with her mom in like the 90s, and apparently like she refused to feed her, and then her mom just died, and like all of her family members thought that she killed her.
Oh my God. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So just like very complicated past. So because Gypsy's lawyer was able to get access to medical records, which thoroughly detailed the abuse that she had endured throughout like her entire life, he was able to arrange a plea deal. And on July 5th of 2016, Gypsy actually pled guilty to second degree murder, and she was sentenced to 10 years in prison. She ended up actually only serving about 85% of her sentence, and she was released just a few days ago on December 28th, 2023. A lot of people were frustrated by the verdict, whether that was because, like, on one hand, Gypsy was a victim of, like, vicious abuse for a majority of her life, but on the other hand, she, like, organized the murder of her mother, so it's just, like, a really complicated situation. Mm-hmm. But because of the plea deal, like, and she pled guilty to second degree murder, she got like the least possible sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And on the flip side, Godejohn was found guilty of first degree murder in 2018. He did not take a plea deal, and he was sentenced to life in prison, which he's still serving today. His conviction was determined after a really long deliberation by the jury, during which they had to choose between like three different murder charges, whether it was like involuntary manslaughter, second or first degree murder, and like not guilty, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And after 2 hours of deliberation, which is not very long for a murder trial, they came to the determination that he was guilty of first degree murder, which
I think that makes sense. Like,
makes sense. Yeah.
She didn't deserve that long of a sentence. She was a victim of abuse. So arguably it was self-defense. And also, like, she didn't fully even commit the crime. Like, yes, she might have organized it, but she didn't commit the crime. Alternatively, like, he committed the crime. He was not a victim of her abuse. Like,
yeah, I totally agree. And I, like, I feel like Gypsy ended up serving her time. Like, she was in jail for 8 years and change.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's more than enough for, like, the years and years of abuse.
Yeah. And she has been active on the internet ever since. It's been quite entertaining.
She has. Oh my gosh, yes. Did you see all the paparazzi pictures of her going into the like shoe store?
No. Oh, wait, wait. When she didn't have like shoes on or something, and she was like,
She had on like boots that didn't fit her, so they weren't zipped up.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I did see those.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That like caught me so off guard. I remember whatever day she got out, I remember like seeing on Instagram everyone reposting like this like mirror selfie of her. And I was just like, oh my God, like she's on Instagram. Like that's like the generation that we're in.
Yeah. Like I remember when all the shows and stuff were coming out about her in like 2018, 2019. Like there was that one with Joey King in it.
I know. I was just thinking, I was like, I wonder if she wants to talk to Joey King.
I know.
Like, you know what I mean? I think it's kind of weird that they made a show about her when she was like
in prison.
Yes. And then not like it's not like she's in prison for the rest of her life. Like they knew she was going to get out.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of weird how quickly they made like this like show based off of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you know she's a huge Taylor Swift fan?
Seriously?
Yes. I've seen a lot about that. I think it's quite entertaining. She had this whole elaborate plan to like meet Taylor Swift by going to a Chiefs game, but then she was like ordered out of the state. Like, so she had to go back to Louisiana, so she couldn't go to the game.
What?
Yeah. She was like dying to meet Taylor Swift.
Oh my, Taylor Swift needs to set up a meeting with her.
Which I also think is kind of ironic because like, okay, Joey King plays her in this TV show, right? Yeah. Joey King like knows Taylor Swift because she's been in like Taylor Swift's music videos.
Joey King has been in Taylor Swift's music videos?
Yeah, she was in that one when she was like a kid, and then she was put in, I think it was something from Speak Now. I think it was Mean. But then she was also, when Speak Now, Taylor's version came out over the summer and they like made a new music video, they put Joey King in it because like it was supposed to be like new, you know what I mean? Like updated. Yeah.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Dude, Joey King, when she was a kid, she was in like everything.
No, because she was in Ramona and Beezus.
Yeah. She was also in that weird movie that like Oz won, I think.
Which one?
It was like something based on like The Wizard of Oz, but it wasn't The Wizard of Oz. I think Mila Kunis was in it.
Oh, I know what movie you're talking about.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. I like can't remember what that was. I was actually starting to think that it was like some weird memory I had, not like a real thing. I don't know, but it was really weird. That was a weird movie. But Joey King was in it. She was like some glass doll girl or something. Like she was like not like
I remember that.
It was like her, but it was like she was edited or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I remember that.
But yeah, I wonder if Gypsy Rose Blanchard has made contact with Joey King. I'm just curious.
Maybe. I mean, I feel like if you portray someone like that on TV, you need to like reach out. Like,
I know.
I hope Joey King like DM'd her and was like, hey girl, hey.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm so curious about this. Anyway, I don't know why that was like one of the first things I thought when I saw she was getting out. I was like, I wonder if she's going to meet Joey King. I wonder what her impressions of Joey King are.
Yeah. What is she going to think when she's like, you guys like, chose her to play me?
Yeah. Like, you guys watched The Kissing Booth and then decided she was a great choice to portray me.
Oh, my God. Yeah, apparently.
But yeah.
But I will say, you know, Joey King served. She kissed Jacob Elordi.
Is that serving or is that just, like...
That's so lucky.
Luck.
That's luck. I don't know if it's serving, but it's luck.
But yeah. This was the Gypsy Rose Blanchard case. Tune in next month for another new episode and follow us on Instagram at tgic.podcast. Bye. Bye.